You're listening to TF Talk Weekly, part of the TF Talk network of podcasts and live streams, where we give you the most relevant current stories in your fandom and more, all within 30 quick minutes or less. I'm your host, Mr. Starscream, and I'll be your guide to everything worth talking about that transformed since last episode. Discover more of our great shows at tftalk.net. We're changing the format today for a special New York Comic-Con 2019 Aftermath edition of TF Talk Weekly. Instead of a segment-based show, we are focusing on a single interview with Anthony Brucalli, founder and operator of TFU.info. He had the fortune of attending this year's New York Comic-Con, and better yet, he found his way into two invite-only events thrown by Hasbro. Without further ado, here's our discussion.
I am Anthony Brucalli, owner-operator madman behind TFU.info, the world's longest-running transforming toy archive. I launched the site back in 2002, and it serves kind of as the Transformers answer to Yojo.com. At least that's kind of what got phrased as when it originally came out. In addition to that, I've been part of the fan community since the late 90s. And I do event coverage as well with Toy Fair, New York Comic Con, and those sorts of events. I also host my own podcast called Transformers University, where we chronologically cover the Transformers brand in every single facet possible. And I think that kind of sums me up.
So how did TFU.info actually start? Because to me, it's always just been one of those staples that's always there.
It started because it wasn't there. There was a conversation I've had with a number of people, like, and the reason I say it's the Transformers answer to Yojo.com is that when there wasn't a TFU.info, people were always like, there should be a Yojo.com of Transformers. So I kind of went and looked at that site and taught myself a whole bunch of HTML. And then I had some time between graduating college and finding really my first like full-time job, and kind of just went to work for about a year and a half between summers and school and everything else, and built it from scratch and contacted people and took photos of my entire collection, and then found people around the world to help me with photos before there were camera phones, to make what was the toy archive at TFU. And then that's kind of how it came about. I had a conversation with someone, basically saying, why isn't this thing a thing? And he looked at me and goes, why don't you do it? And I thought to myself, well, yeah, why don't I do it? So that's kind of how it came about.
In your words, like, what do you think makes TFU.info unique amongst all the other websites that have come and gone and are still around?
I think one, it's the simplicity of it. My limited computer skills have kind of left it kind of be of its time in some ways, but which makes it really easy to go through. I think there's a simplicity to how the characters are organized. So if you need you want to find out about Optimus Prime, you can kind of scroll down to the history of the character down at the bottom from G1 Optimus and see, in one take every toy that's ever been made of him in chronological order. And then also see how that mold's been remolded or repainted, and then additional versions of the character. I think that's kind of the heart and soul of the website.
This weekend, New York Comic Con occurred, 2019, and you actually reached out to me saying, hey, I would help you do some coverage on this because I'm going to be there, and I personally was not able to attend this year, so I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us at TF Talk Weekly, and I guess I just wanted to know, like, how many of these New York Comic Cons have you been to?
I think this is my fifth or sixth in the row. I started going in 2014, oddly enough. I used to work for Major League Baseball, so I never had October to myself because that's the middle of the playoffs. I left there in 2014, and the first thing I did was I'm going to go to New York Comic Con. And I think ever since then, I've gone every year.
And did you go specifically to look at Transformers stuff? Because I know back in the day, there wasn't a huge Hasbro presence like there kind of is now, right?
Well, it's weird. The term Hasbro presence is kind of misleading. There is no Hasbro presence at New York Comic Con. They don't have an official booth. They don't have anything of their own there. So Unicron was on display at the Pop Insider booth. Hasbro did an interview on the Sci-Fi Wire stage with the folks from Sci-Fi Wire, but anything specifically run by Hasbro was not on site. All the Hasbro stuff happens off-site in an unofficial capacity to New York Comic Con, but around the events of the convention so that it can be done within that context.
Okay, interesting. Thank you for the clarification. So you did see Unicron on the floor. Was it the first time you'd seen it?
Yes, in person, for sure. It is enormous. It is a lot bigger than pictures let on, especially when you start to see it next to some of the things it comes with, such as the slug figures, which are incredibly tiny, probably, you know, the size of the point on a ballpoint pen. They are really small. The colors seem better in person than they did in pictures. And it, the enormity of it, the whole figure, really can't be captured in photos as much as it is being near it.
I'm going to take a wild guess that you have backed this thing.
It took me a while to justify the cost and to really, make sure I had the funds in place. But ultimately, once it passed 5,000, I was like, I have a feeling this is going to get done. I want to back it. And that's when I backed it. And, you know, in retrospect, when I was thinking about it, probably just last night, you know, it's that $600. It's not really a lot more. It's actually probably less than doing an entire run of BotCon exclusives at a BotCon. If you think that it was, you know, $399 at the fan club rate to do a Primus package, plus, you know, $290 for the show souvenirs. That's already more than $600, and you have to go there and cart it all home yourself. So after putting in that perspective, I feel like the burn isn't nearly as bad as I thought it was.
I would agree with you on that. So Unicron did fund, that was kind of an exciting thing. I don't know if you did talk to anyone in an official capacity about Unicron. Was there any discussion amongst like Hasbro people at New York Comic Con?
Not about the funding. What did come up, and it's something that I'm glad I actually got recorded, was, you know, John Warden flat out said, is that this toy is not going to be repainted. It's not going to be remolded. It's not going to be reused. This is your one shot at getting Unicron. You either do it or you don't.
There will not be another Unicron produced if Unicron gets funded. This is the only time it will get produced.
And if it didn't get funded, it wasn't going to get made in any way. So at least in this version of the mold. So I'm glad it got funded. But for those thinking that there's going to be a Takara release down the line or some sort of special edition down the line at a cheaper price, it's not happening.
Well, there you have it. I did see that video. I wasn't aware that it was yours. That's great to know. One other big reveal at the actual Comic-Con was the Zarek figure. And did you get a good look at that, or were you just in the crowd watching?
I was in the crowd watching. I was about three rows back from the stage. So, I mean, I got as good as a look as anyone else did because it was up on the screen above the stage. It appears that it is a Zarek as the head to Mega Zarek, which is then the head to Scorponok. But it's a grayscale, so it's kind of tricky to see. The cool thing was, from where I was sitting, I could kind of see it on the couch between John and Ben before they announced it.
The last few years, this has kind of been their the pattern is they show something of their Titan, whether it's Triptychon's leg or Omega Supreme's tank mode, and this time a Scorponok head.
Yeah, and Predaking's wings 1 year. So, I mean, it's always that little sci-fi panel where they do that.
Well, that's awesome that you got to see it in person. You said there was something that happened off-site that wasn't actually at Comic-Con, but was there at the same time. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So there were actually two events, but I think the one you're referring to is the unboxing. So that morning before the Hasbro interview at the Sci-Fi stage, the folks at Hasbro had us and a couple other fan sites out for an unboxing event. So we got to unbox Siege Wave 5. We had about an hour and a half to do so. And so they kind of give us the figures, not all at once, but in small waves. So they start with Battle Masters and work their way up to Leader Class. And during the course of that, I've got to unbox Rung, Singe, which is the Battle Master that goes with Spinister, At the MicroMaster level, we got to unbox the Rumble, the Red One, and Ratbat 2-pack, along with the MicroMaster 2-pack of Power Punch and Direct Hit. We also got to unbox Spinister and Crosshairs at the Deluxe Scale, Voyager Ape Face, and Leader Class Astro Train.
Wow, that's a lot. So that's the whole wave. Yeah, that's awesome. So which impressed you the most, or which gave you the biggest surprise?
The one that surprised me the most was Spinister, how that leg transformation works. And he has two cockpits that are independent pieces. They don't they're not halves of a single cockpit. There's one with landing gear on it and there's one without. And the one with landing gear becomes the main cockpit of the helicopter. And the one that isn't kind of folds underneath the helicopter vehicle. It almost looks like a G.I. Joe type vehicle. And overall, that was just a cool like engineering concept, and the way his head flips around and the back of the helicopter forms. It's simple, but it's elegant, and it's really, really nice deluxe.
Well, I think IDW fans will be looking forward to that figure. It sounds like you were excited. Was there a general vibe of other people in the room? Could you read the room at all?
Yeah. I think most people were, the thing with Spinister was those legs on top of it being kind of really cool once you figured them out were hard to figure out. There's times where that room gets real quiet because everyone's kind of focused on whatever they're doing. I actually brought help with me the first time, so it was very much a divide and conquer method to what we were doing to some extent. So while either one of us would take the robot mode, the other one would be like, all right, transform this so we can do photos of the vehicle mode. You know, I personally had as a fan of IDW, was really happy to see a Rung figure in any form. So just kind of marveling at that. Frenzy is surprisingly tricky to transform because his arms don't necessarily go the way you would think right out of the package. There's a little bit of trepidation when you're taking that stuff out because you don't want to break it because you have to give it back. And then we found out at the end, that was the big surprise, is they were like, you know what, take him home. And which they didn't do for us last year when we got to unbox Siege Wave 1. They made us give those back. And this year they were like, you know what? Yeah, there's no reason for you to give those back. Why don't you just take them all home?
Yeah, I heard about that too. And I was pretty jealous because I wasn't able to be there this year. That has never happened before. So very exciting.
No, my reaction was really. I think there was a bit of stunned surprise among the folks who were there that they were actually really letting us take them home. And then there was a mad scramble too for those who were collecting packaging or instructions or whatever to dig through the garbage boxes we had made to find all the things that they were getting rid of that they needed back.
Oh, that's really funny. I would assume there was staff on hand, probably Ben and John, to answer questions or other staff.
No, actually, John was not on hand until the very end when he had to leave for the sci-fi panel. So he basically came out and he was in another area that was curtained off, which would eventually be where we saw the Earthrise stuff in the afternoon. It was Ben and a little bit of Ren's son, who you may remember from the Unicron videos, and one of the other Hasbro marketing folks, a woman by the name of Rachel, who just met for the first time when we were there.
Cool. Well, with them on hand, you know, a lot of people are asking questions, and I know it's a busy time, especially if you're playing with all these toys in hand. Was there anything that, like, you maybe caught information-wise that maybe wasn't widely reported because things just get missed in the heat of the moment? Any sort of discussions that we just might not have heard about yet?
Oh, man. From that session, not so much. From the unboxing is what it is. So the toys are, you know, as they're released. I think in the afternoon session with Earthrise, because we're rapid firing questions either at them or having people tweet at us or send questions to us on, you know, YouTube or whatever, there's a lot of questions and answers being fired out. A couple of things probably worth noting with Generations. Cliffjumper is a deluxe. A lot of people were, how big is he? He's a little smaller than your average deluxe, but he's made up for in size by having larger accessories. So he has his big gun. That gun has the tripod stand on it, which then becomes the skis for his alternate vehicle mode. Astro Train will be sold both in Siege in Wave 5 and in Wave 1 of Earthrise, but we'll still have the battle damage. He's a straight repack as far as we know as of right now. I don't think they're going to do another run of him for that first wave. I'm trying to think what else off the top of my head. The roller that was on hand that was shown in the Optimus Prime trailer, that was mine. I brought that with me to see if it would fit in the trailer, and Hasbro was kind enough to indulge me in doing that. Oh, and then with Cyberverse, the other thing with Cyberverse, we're getting deluxe scale figures. They will retail for $19.99, and they contain the McAdam Build-A-Figure, and there are 8 pieces to that Build-A-Figure, so it'll be spread over 2 ways.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And so that McAdam figure obviously will not transform, right?
No, it does not transform. It is just a McAdam action figure. Also, people had asked about BotBots. There was no Studio Series on display. There was no BotBots on display. We asked about BotBots, actually, in the unboxing group, and they said, stay tuned for London Comic-Con, which is the end of October, so we should have in a couple of weeks more information on series 4 of BotBots, which they said series 4, so I'm assuming there is going to be a series 4.
Oh, that's excellent news. Did not catch much of the BotBots news on there. Let's just move on to the afternoon event completely and talk about Earthrise. So you didn't get to mess with any of the Earthrise toys. They were just on display in that diorama, correct?
Correct.
So what stood out for you?
So what stood out for me is the play pattern. It's very base focused. The weaponizers are the MicroMaster bases, you know, at least, you know, with Ironworks, and I just presume that's what we'll see from this wave to the next. But the Battlemasters are now ramps that interconnect the bases, which is an interesting play pattern and a terrible job if you're a part of the Autobot army, that your job is either to be a road or shield for another robot.
Yeah, that's too bad for a little sound barrier there, right?
Yes, too bad for him, but a great pun with his name. He is a sound barrier. You know, the Wheeljack looks really cool. I know a lot of people think he's going to be Sunstreaker. I'm kind of in that camp at the moment. The Cliffjumper looks really good. He is small. It's very much in the same vein as like Studio Series Jazz, where it's a smaller deluxe with a little bit more in terms of accessories. And Hoist looks really good. I know people are kind of upset that the Optimus has gray fists. I think that's how he's going to be. We get other Optimuses in a line usually, or from Select. So I imagine there will be one with blue fists down the line. And Grapple looked pretty cool, and he has that weird hand attachment. Things get really crazy and busy in that room. And, you know, that hand attachment, I didn't see if that was a 5mm peg that flips around over, instead of his fist, and you plug the attachment on, or if that's a single piece on its own. But I think it's a good example of, like, just how crazy things get. The little details like that, as much as everybody wants them, we can't always get them.
Well, my... You know, radio pseudonym is Mr. Starscream, so I would say you're missing one major,
oh my goodness,
major guy there.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Totally forgot about that Starscream, but that Starscream is beautiful. It looks great. As one of the people who was with me put it, and he's a bit younger than me, so it was kind of an interesting perspective. He was a kid when Classics came out, and he was like, it's Classics, classic Starscream. And I think that's probably the best way to put it. It's the Classics engineering reimagined and done at a larger scale, almost as a tribute to that mold.
Yeah, it really does seem that way. And that was not what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting that much retreading, but it is very cool to see it at a Voyager scale, because it is a great mold. It always was like a great engineering scheme for an updated Starscream. And I'm really happy to see it.
Yeah, me too. And they're going to get a lot of mileage out of that. I mean, if it's just the 6, they'll get a lot of mileage out of it. And I think they'll take that a lot further.
So now we know what Earthrise is. We've seen the first wave. How excited are you for wave 2, 3, 4, even though you don't know what it is yet? And what do you expect to see potentially?
You know, it's such a weird place where we are as Transformers fans that we've just heard about Earthrise, and we're already wondering what comes after when Earthrise hasn't even come out. We're going to see more Decepticons, right? Because if they're following the pattern from Siege, right, the first wave was predominantly Autobots. So outside of Starscream and the repack of Astrotrain, we still haven't seen what Decepticons we're going to get down this line. And I'm interested to see what that's going to be, because what are they going to cover that is Earth-based but also fits in this scheme? Battle Chargers, I guess, and then what? I think, you know, there's certainly a lot of room to do more Autobots. I think the Sunstreaker thoughts by most people is a good fit. I would like to see that Cliffjumper mold become something more than just Bumblebee, maybe Hubcap or Bumper or Glyph or Tap Out. I mean, there's certainly places they could take that. you know what? I haven't really given it much thought. I really thought beasts were going to be a thing, and they might still be. It's since we haven't seen Decepticons yet. We could do that whole, you know, Carnivac and Snarler, but kind of do Pretender Beasts and the Decepticon Pretenders, which are much more interesting than the Autobot Pretenders visually.
Oh, yes. Yes, they are. Really, what I'm expecting to see are many more of these weaponizer base guys. You know, that was to me the most like, wow, this is something new and crazy when they showed us Earthrise.
Yeah. And there's a strong theming around that, even to, you know, which Autobots they chose. They chose, you know, Grapple and Hoist and Wheeljack, which are all kind of like construction guys or guys that build and engineer things. Right. So there's certainly something to be said for the base motif, the building something motif. On the Decepticon side, I don't know if we see that, though. So also with the leader class, the one thing that's kind of been the pattern with this line since Siege is that the leader toy isn't necessarily a big toy to go toe to toe with something. It's more of a Voyager figure with a whole bunch of stuff to put on it. So that might also inform whatever the Decepticon at that size class might be.
That's a good thought. Very good thought. We'll have to see what comes next. So, Anthony, I really appreciate you taking the time to share, you know, your experience with us and your expertise being a lifelong Transformers fan by the sound of it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Where can people follow you other than just coming to TFU.info?
So aside from the website, you can follow me on Twitter. It's usually where I hang out. It's at TFU_info. And you can also catch me on YouTube at youtube.com/TFU info. And, you know, if you listen to TFYLP, then you probably are somewhere where you can listen to my podcast as well, Transformers University, which is just about everywhere fine podcasts are.
Awesome. We love to expand the network and, you know, the fandom is vast. Thank you so much. And I think that's a wrap. So that concludes our first special edition of TF Talk Weekly. We hope you enjoyed this format and found out some details from this past weekend's reveals that you may have missed from the news sites. I want to thank Anthony Bricalli for taking the time to chat with me candidly about his experiences. If you've never used TFU.info, then it's high time you checked it out and learned how to identify any unknown Transformer toy. Don't forget to email us at podcast@tfylp.com for any feedback, and we'll be back to our regular format next week. The TF Talk Network exists from the efforts of an enthusiastic collection of Transformers fans all across North America and beyond. The concept was created by Duran Land, and the main show, TFYLP, has continued for over 10 years due to his diligence and care. The cast at the TF Talk Network is always growing, so if you have a desire to participate, reach out to us via any of our social platforms or even email us at podcast@tfylp.com. You can directly support the podcast and keep us on the air by becoming a monetary supporter of TFYLP on Patreon. Donations to Patreon are used to cover expenses incurred by running the shows and are not distributed to individual staff members. The TF Talk Network schedule is as follows. TF Talk Weekly usually posts at 5 p.m. on Mondays. Microcaster streams live on the TF Talk Facebook page Tuesday evenings. Ouch My Wallet streams live on Facebook and YouTube Wednesday nights. Cut the Tape episodes launch Fridays at 5. And TFYLP streams live Sundays at noon CST. See you there.